Hi. I have a mother's mouth. I'm sorry. I'm Roseanne, a very grateful believer in Jesus, in recovering and struggling with the complications of childhood abuse. Growing up in upstate New York, my father was lord and master of our home. His every mood ruled our lives. Everything was his way because as king, he was entitled. By the time I was six, I had three younger brothers, and my baby sister was born when I was 11. My father believed that women were only good for one thing and that males were to rule. Home life was very stressful, as my father generated a lot of anger and intimidation. I was always feeling anxious and fearful, and the only comfort I had was found in food. My father had a nervous breakdown when I was nine. My parents said this was because he worked too hard and hadn't had a vacation in 10 years. The reality was that he was mentally ill, and this was a secret we were to protect. It was never to be spoken about. So we handled this by a great defense mechanism called denial and went on vacation. Up until the age of 30, this is the extent of my childhood memories. But I'll get to that shortly. One summer night at the age of 12, I got drunk on a dare from my cousin. I felt free of pressure and anxiety for the first time ever, until the next morning. Then I felt apprehensive about discovering the consequences of losing control. I was scared, and I didn't know what to do, so I asked God to help me. Unfortunately, I had no idea how to connect with him, and neither did anyone I talked to. I also did not know at that time that there is no cry to God that is ever overlooked. In Psalm 72:12, it says, "For he will deliver the needy who cry out, and the afflicted who have no one to help." A divine appointment was set up at that time for me. Powerless to resist, the partying continued as I longed for peace and relief. But all I found was yet another band-aid as I added pot to my daily practice of pseudo-peace. Surprisingly, I graduated from high school with mostly A's and started nursing school at the age of 17. This was the first time I was living away from home, and I went wild as I added another addiction to my life, free sex. Well, it was the 70s, and I thought I was living free, a truly liberated woman. And being me, I never tiptoed into anything. I was the one who dove in and then realized there wasn't any water in the pool. I tended to get as close as possible to the edge of every cliff and ended up hanging by a thread in situation after situation. I did not realize what was driving me, why I felt worthless, and that the only way that I could really relate to men was sexually. I told myself that I was in control, but actually I felt angry, used, and full of fear, and that I couldn't trust anyone. Ironically, in nursing school, I began to learn about this phenomenon called psychology, where I discovered concepts about dysfunctional families, codependence, and the effects of living with someone plagued by mental illness. I think I read every self-help book available at that time, from I'm Okay, You're Okay, to My Mother, Myself, and Codependent No More. It was the beginning of unwrapping of multiple layers that I was buried alive in. Although I gained a lot of knowledge over the years of working in psychiatry, I still felt something was missing. I can remember sitting with a group of my friends on my 25th birthday thinking, is this all there is? By the time I was 26, I was living in San Diego, California. For work, I chose a position at an adolescent psych center, but within a few weeks, I realized it was not a good choice. Terrible things were going on, and though I spoke out about them, I did not see management intervening to make things safe for the kids. On my last day of work, an older nurse came into my office to say goodbye. Hours passed as she shared what Jesus meant to her, and she asked me to go to church with her. I reluctantly said yes. Anything to shut her up. Well, a couple of weeks later, she called me and invited me to go to church service. She offered to take me out after eating, and this was so tempting to me because I was not working, and I was sick and tired of PBJs. So after 3 weeks of going with her to service, she asked me what I was thinking about all this. And that's when I started crying. I said, "This is what I have been looking for all my life. I accepted the loving gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ in January 1981 at Bob's Big Boy in Chula Vista, California." In Romans 6, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I fell in love with Jesus because he loved me unconditionally, something I had never experienced before. And he showed his love for me in a big way by backing his word with action. And within a month of falling in love with God, he miraculously healed me. You see, during my senior year of high school, I had suddenly developed daily headaches that were becoming pretty constant. After 4 years of seeing specialist after specialist, a bone spur was found to be growing in my cervical spine at the base of my neck. It was putting pressure on my neck nerves, and in addition to headaches, I experienced loss of movement and numbness of my left arm, leaving me pretty miserable most of the time. I had surgery to have the spur removed 10 days after I graduated from nursing school. I felt great as I healed from the operation and even carried an 85-pound backpack around Europe for 6 weeks to celebrate graduating from school. Unfortunately, about a year after surgery, I developed a rapid-spreading arthritis that began crippling me in most of my joints. The pain was hard to deal with, and the only relief I found was smoking pot. So you can just imagine the delight and appreciation and gratitude I had for the Lord to be free of pain and able to move freely. I had read in Psalms 107:20 that God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. So I asked him to do that for me, and he did. He not only physically healed me, but delivered me from any desire for pot, alcohol, and promiscuity. Praise the Lord. In September 1982, God brought a man into my life who was to become my husband. We had both experienced the ways of the world, and we saw this as a gift, a second chance to build a life serving God together. Unfortunately, right from the first day, he chose not to honor his commitment to me and the Lord. However, the Lord never failed me. Over the first 2 years of my marriage, I had the opportunity to attend Bible college. I believe this is one of the methods that the Lord used to keep me anchored in him, as the marriage was very turbulent. God had a plan, and nothing was going to stand in his way. We went to Christian counseling, and he was diagnosed with mental illness. In those days, we believed as long as we gave it to God, we didn't have to do anything else. Actually, we were just using that great defense mechanism, denial, and acted like everything was fine and never spoke about it. This was a flashback of years gone past, namely my childhood. I found myself turning to the only comfort I had felt in my childhood, and that was food. About 20 pounds later, I began crying out to the Lord as I realized I was feeling very anxious and losing control. As was my usual practice, I set aside time to fast and pray and seek God's guidance. I did this several times over a month period, but every time I felt the Lord was going to reveal to me the root of my issues, I would feel panicky and try to drown those feelings with food. Intriguingly, over this same time period, I felt inundated with information on child abuse. It seemed that every news show, magazine, and talk show was accentuating the topic. When I finally quit trying to avoid my feelings, my Lord, the one I trusted with my life, led me to consider that my years of anxiety were actually covering some very painful memories. memories of sexual abuse at the hands of my father. In the loving arms of Jesus, I was able to allow the thoughts to flow. Painful memories flooded me, but did not destroy me. The stronghold of free-floating anxiety and fear were broken off me. I shared this experience with my prayer group that night, and amazingly, the Spirit of God brought forth a word of knowledge and not only validated what he had spoken to my heart, but touched the hearts of three other women who were also suffering with past childhood abuse. Later that night, I shared it with my husband, and we gave it to God. And using our great defense mechanism, never spoke about it again. I became a mother of two over the next 3 years, but my marriage continued to deteriorate, forcing us to leave to find safety. I moved my children back to my hometown of Rochester, New York, in January 1988. I had briefly reunited with my spouse in 1990, but this was actually the ending of our marriage. The Lord's final plan for this union produced one last child in 1991, the same year we divorced. I was blessed to have some further healing through Christian counseling after this, which God used to lead me into acceptance and forgiveness and a new identity in Him. I could spend hours and hours telling you of the phenomenal adventures we've had over the past 20 plus years as Jesus led our family in His ways. We've learned to get by with few luxuries, overcome illnesses, survive financial droughts, but we were always seeing God move to meet our needs in a profound way. In all these things, we have been shown His deep love for us, so we could share that with others, as we were very committed to. My three adult children, and I moved out here to Oregon in 2009. It was time for a change and to reconnect with my sister who was living in Portland. We were blessed to discover Rolling Hills 4 years ago. However, during this time, I became aware of some significant shortcomings in my life. When I cried out to God that I was helpless to change myself, He directed me to Celebrate Recovery, December 2012. The Lord gave me the courage to admit my denial, a theme that had been repeatedly surfaced throughout my life. In principle one, I was able to see that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. I was able to acknowledge that my emotions were frozen and I felt distanced from God. The deep love that I had experienced from Him years ago had grown stagnant, and I couldn't fix it. Fortunately, in Matthew 19:26, the Lord restored hope in me through the word that says, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." My experience has made me feel born again, again. I have fallen in love with Jesus in a new and fresh way and have found a new branch of the family. I have felt accepted and understood on a level like never before. The acceptance and love that my CR family and friends have given me has been without judgment and condemnation. This has helped me to be more loving and free. As a participant in the abuse recovery group, I have had many opportunities to share safely on the pain of my past and to learn new ways to walk in the freedom that Jesus purchased for me. Because in Galatians 5:1 it says, "We are told to stand fast, therefore in the liberty wherewith Jesus has made us free, and to not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." I've completed 2 full step studies and have been so encouraged by what the Lord has done watching others heal. I know these have been breakthroughs in my own life throughout this too, where I am more freely forgiving, loving, and sharing Jesus with others. The profound effects of God's healing and step studies has prompted me to lead a step study, which I am now doing. I want to encourage you to give CR a chance. With Jesus as your higher power, who willingly shares His power, you can change. You can heal and forgive as you accept his love and forgiveness. Thank you for letting me share.